Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town and B-Town and every town in between? Welcome to The Usual Suspects on an F-Yeah Friday. Coming to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. It's Barry and Joel here, Nick there, back at the studio, and you everywhere. And appreciate you taking us along for the ride for the next 3 hours as we hopefully talk some sports and other things and have a whole lot of fun along the way. Fellas, what's up?
Sup, man?
Nothing, man. Got here without much trouble. Bunch of dickweeds, as Fred would say, on the road.
Slow drivers.
47 miles an hour. Me happy, but
hey, you know what? It's a small price to pay, right?
Love it down here. The peeps are going to be great. I anticipate that the crowd will build as the day goes on.
As it does.
If you are in the Golden Triangle area and you are looking for something to do, Luke's Ice House is the place for you. Stop on by. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. So Fred and AJ will also be here out on the deck.
The cat will be here all day and all night.
Cat is all world. It's a female named Charlie. Last time we were here, we showed you pictures.
Wait. A female named Charlie. Now, I'm not judging.
That's what she said.
I'm not judging the cat. I see it over there. It kind of looks like the cat that I have that won't die.
Okay.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, that cat's going to live forever if it's anything like the one that I have at the house.
Well, all
but
I know.
That's what he looks like.
All I know is that she said that it's a female named Charlie,
okay.
Which...
So you understand it's very, very difficult to determine the sex of a cat because they don't have large testicles to begin with. Yeah, cats don't have large testicles, so it's very difficult to determine the sex of a cat a lot of times.
Do you know that because of personal experience and checking on a regular basis or studies you've read?
No, I do indeed know that for checking. Because we have a male cat, and even before we had his things removed, it's not like they're just. It's not like a dog or a horse where they just there. It's a little more inconspicuous. I will say, speaking of that, I felt horrible for my cat when we first got him. This was a long time ago, and I've never owned a cat. I've always had dogs,
mm-hmm.
But we had the cat, and he's a black and white mix, kind of like Charlie here. And I had let him outside. We lived in an apartment. I had let him out to play a little bit in the grass as a kitten. We get back, and I don't know, I was like scratching him on his stomach or whatever, and I felt something, and I looked, and there was just this black dot-looking thing on his stomach, and I was like, oh, my God, he's got a tick. So I sent my wife to get tweezers, and I tried to get this tick off for about 15 minutes, and our cat is just screaming, and I'm like, man, this thing is really embedded. And my wife goes, let me look at this. She goes, that's his nipple, you dumbass.
I was pulling
for about 20 good minutes. I tried to pull my cat's nipple off because I thought it was a tick because it was black. So that's my – you could tell me.
Thank God it was a nipple. I'm hearing the story, and I'm worried about it being something else.
No.
But I'm going, either way, it doesn't sound anything but painful.
But what I didn't understand is I was like, how – she goes, that's his nipple, dumbass. I was like, it's a he. They don't have nipples. She was like, yes, he do.
Everybody does.
Stupid ass. So I'm the wrong one to ask about, oh, is that a boy or a girl, and how do you tell? So – But good for her. She got something to eat right now.
Yeah. So she even said it. It sounds like a lot of women that are single. But she said that Charlie, the female, loves to be petted.
Yes.
And fed.
Yes.
But will not allow anyone to pick her up.
It does sound like a.
So it sounds like a Friday, Saturday night with a girl in the corner of the bar.
Yeah.
But yeah, Charlie's a cool cat. Last time finished off Andreas's quesadillas, and this time it's just kind of. If you're in the Beaumont area, we'll do the same because should be a party down here at Luke's as we're expecting a big crowd to start rolling in this afternoon. Getting ready for happy hour. A lot of good college football, a lot of pro football on Sunday, but conference championship games. So a lot of good things to talk about as we get ready for the show.
And if you come down, I promise not to try to pull your nipple off. I promise, I promise, I promise. I won't do that. Unless you're a cat and you look like you have a tick.
Scary thing would be that you might have some volunteers for that.
Yes, probably. That would be weird. Something I would not oblige to. So I have a question for you. So I was dying to get to the show today to ask you this.
Okay.
And it's kind of football sports related. And I know we don't get real sportsy in segment one. Yeah. And I promise you this isn't about the game. Because we'll get to the game. Next segment we're going to talk about Saints and Cowboys and what a disaster that was for the Saints. But during the game, my wife is actually watching some of the football game with me. And it's in the beginning. It's first half.
Okay.
And, you know, Drew Brees puts his hands in his mouth a lot on the field. He licks his fingers.
He does lick his fingers a lot.
To get a grip on the ball.
Yep.
Something I've noticed, but I've never, you know, you don't notice it until someone points it out, but you notice it. Does that make sense? You know he does it, but it really doesn't register that it's that big of a deal until someone goes, man, he goes to his mouth a lot with his fingers. And so what she points out is the fact that it's gross. And I was like, why is that gross? That was such a girl thing to say. And she's like, that's disgusting that he would put his fingers in his mouth while he's playing football. And I was like, it's not that disgusting. I mean, the football, yeah, it's not the cleanest in the world, but they rotate them and they wipe them down with a towel, and it's not the cleanest in the world. But then as I'm saying that, we're both watching the TV, and he goes under center. And it dawned on me at that particular moment that pretty much 70% of the time he's on the field, his hands are in the taint area of his center. So, and then he puts his hand in his mouth to get grip. And I was like, okay, that is disgusting now. I get it.
Does she say that about baseball pitchers too?
No, she actually didn't say that. I've never heard it. That's the first time I've ever heard her say that. But I'm see like she would probably say, oh, that's gross that he would put his hand in his mouth before he throws a pitch. But the difference is Justin Verlander isn't putting his hands on the sack of a center and then putting his hands in his mouth.
You know the David Carr story, right?
That's why he wore gloves.
David Carr wore gloves, especially later in his career. I think it was with Carolina.
Four ounce padded gloves.
And they were like, why are you wearing gloves when the weather's not bad and it's not cold? And he's like, have you ever seen where I have to put my hands?
Yeah.
And so, therefore, that's why he said he wore a glove even when he had to go under center. That's about the other end of the extreme. But either way, you know.
How do you not, Max Unger, it can't be like squeaky clean down there in the middle of a game. It's got to be pretty nasty and sweaty.
Especially when you rotate in stories from Booger McFarland and Travis Johnson that said during games they don't run to the restroom, they just let it fly.
And then you put your hands on there, and then you get in shock and it's like putting your hands in your mouth. Well, so it's ridiculing her, being like, that's the most woman thing you've ever said. And then I was like, you know what? I get it. That is disgusting, actually. It's kind of gross. Because I didn't even dawn on me until I see him get under center. And I was like, oh.
You want a real film session? Why don't you show Drew Brees where his hands are under center, and then show him licking his hands going, Drew, you may want to evaluate this.
You may want to carry
out. There's a lot of staph infections that were going around the league, but you could get a lot more. You just better be real good close friends with Max then.
It'd be great if he, instead of carrying a towel, you know how they'll carry a towel and dry their hands off or whatever, instead of carrying a towel, he just had like a holster with some hand sanitizer on it instead. Or he made Unger like wear a fanny pack backwards and put some hand sanitizer right there. That's what I would do. You know that, though. That's disgusting.
A little bit more deep thought than I thought that was going to.
See, I felt like it wasn't that big of a deal until I investigated further, and then it was like, oh, my God. What'd you say, Nick? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Oh, very good. Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about breaking the fourth wall there. I couldn't hear it that good. Yeah, so, but we're going to get to the game here in just a second because a lot of surprises.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we had talked about it a little bit yesterday, and we were worried about that spread and and talking about the fact with home field, the Cowboys, and everything that's going on. Stranger things have happened. We had a lot of callers that were very confident in their Saints and the fact that this was going to be a blowout. And week to week, it doesn't matter. When I mentioned that, hey, just because you beat the Rams a few weeks ago doesn't mean that from week to week things don't change. Well, looky, what happens from yesterday until today, because we got a lot to talk about. Because how about the fact you and I were talking about before the show that before the season, who would have thunk it, with all the fans of all three NFL teams in this area, all three are prevalent playoff contenders in terms of making the playoffs and having a shot. Saints, Cowboys, and Texans.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Rockets, Texans.
And we don't talk about Rockets on this show, Barry, and it's not recommended we do it across this station. But at the same time, those three teams are all ready for the playoffs, so that's something to talk about. 803776, that's the HRNP listener line where you can call, you can text, you can also hit us on Twitter where it's at @TheProducerNick, @PacmanJoel with a K, and @BarryIsFunny.
And hey, listen, right now, joining us on the line is Mark Klein with Klein Finds Jewelry, and I'm glad he's here because we're rolling into December now, and you guys better get serious about your Christmas shopping for your wife. And I've been telling you, man, no way to make your wife happier than to get her jewelry, and no better place in the city to do that than my guy Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, thank you for having me on. You know, we took care of your wife. You brought in a picture. You said, make it. This is what she wants. Can you do it? And not only did we do it for you just because it's you, but we did it for you, and you did check around. I know you did.
Even though
I am who I am. Hey, the price is the best price in the city of Houston. Go anywhere. Go to any retail store. Go to any wholesaler. Go to anywhere. It doesn't matter. Come to Klein. You can call me on the phone. I'll quote you a price on a diamond, loose diamond, diamond ring, diamond, anything. Call me. I'll quote you a price on the phone before we do it. And if it's the best price, you come get it from us. And it will be. We do custom work right here in the store. All the jewelers are in the back. We make everything right here. So it's going to be from start to finish, you're going to talk to me. We're going to get it done right. It's going to be better than anywhere else in the city. Whatever you want in jewelry, diamond pendants, earrings, bracelets, rings, you know, custom work, bracelets, you want repairs done, you want watch repair, you have a Rolex that you need it repaired, we can do it. Anything in jewelry, you give us a call at 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388. We've been around since 1969. We're doing things right. It's going to be the best deal in the city of Houston. We're also having the Christmas at Klein's for the ESPN listeners on December 21st. I know you're coming out. It's going to be a great party. We do it every year with John and Lance. So come on out to Klein's Jewelry. It's going to be the best deal on diamonds in the city of Houston.
No doubt. He made me a hero with my wife. In fact, Mark, I was telling the people's I was so much of a hero that I don't even have to get her anything for Christmas. That's how good, that's how happy she is with the ring. And he'll do the same for you. Give him a call, 832-316-1388, KleinsJewelry.com. Mark, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right, Klein's Jewelry, 832-316-1388. Or check him out, KleinsJewelry.com. We'll be back right after this, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, everybody. My name's John. I'm a heavy drinker. Me and my buddy Adam will go drinking, and his wife hates it because she thinks that he's cheating on her because she found in the front seat of the car, she found one of my hairs. She got upset, very upset. She was like, Adam, who is this hussy you've been messing around with? I was like, well, let me see that. that's John's hair. She was like, oh my gosh, I thought that was so funny. So now she's cool with it. So now Adam and I have sex in the car, no problems.
God, when he started that, Barry, he said, I'm John, I'm a heavy drinker. I was like, Granato is your comedian of the week? But that is John Wynn. He's our comedian of the week. So tell the folks and the peeps a little background on the man.
You know, John is one of those guys. I think we started around the same time, and I feel like he's passed me because he's done so much more than I have as a comedian. He's now in L.A. full-time doing comedy out there and writing. He ended up doing – he's done a lot of gigs, but he ended up winning a stand-up for diversity with NBC and then touring with them. He was on TV with them, and then he got a writing internship with, like, CBS or NBC or something like that. So he's just blowing up out there in L.A. and doing a great job, and he's super funny, man. Super nice guy, super funny. So glad to get to feature him this week.
Good deal. So we'll have clips, if you missed that one, on John Wynn. We'll have him at 2:15, 3:15 as well, so you can catch up on all of that. And speaking of catch up, if for some other reason that you had something going on last night and didn't catch up on what happened in the NFL, I believe now the Texans have the longest winning streak in the league.
That is exactly right.
The Saints' 10-game winning streak is no more. The Cowboys did what they said could not be done. And lo and behold, the Cowboys have a 1-game lead in the NFC East after the upset victory over New Orleans last night at Jerry World. We kind of
Well, real quick, do you know who has the second longest streak in the NFL? Winning streak? Take a guess. Take a guess. Go ahead. Just venture a guess.
I don't know.
The Colts.
Five?
Tied for second at five.
Well, five.
So the two longest winning streaks in the NFL as of right now, as of this broadcast, reside in the AFC South. So all you haters out there saying how bad the AFC South is.
And you say Colts are tied at two?
They've won five in a row. I believe I'd have to look it up. I don't remember who the other one was because I didn't care about them. I think it's the Bears.
I think the Bears. It's not Dallas, right?
No, yeah, I believe it's the Bears, and I am correct. The Bears with five. Yep.
So there you go. So everybody poo-pooing on the division that the AFC South is, and it's becoming, yeah, with Jacksonville being down, but the Colts are up.
Just a division of champions,
Titans
apparently.
Playing a little better, and that crazy NFC East gets crazier by the moment, and we said a couple weeks ago, I said right away, Cowboys are in the driver's seat. It's weird. It's crazy. I don't know how, but I know one thing. A lot of guys whose butts were on the hot seat now are cooled off quite a bit in the name of Jason Garrett and the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, and the fact that Zeke is toting the rock and balancing the offense. The Cowboys looked like a very impressive team last night, and I'm not even talking about offense. Defensively, holy cow, the Cowboys' defense. We talked about it a little bit, but that defense was impressive.
Yeah, and I'm going to slightly disagree with you, and I know that's not like me.
No.
Because I was thinking the same thing, and I remember you saying that the Cowboys are pretty much in the driver's seat if they win this. But the problem is they are in the driver's seat in a way, but if Washington takes care of business against Philly, that should be it for them, right? Philly will probably be done in the division. But Washington is one game behind, and their schedule isn't exactly a killer. So I think that don't count the Redskins out. If they win this weekend, they're 7-5, and that's the same record as the Cowboys. So the Cowboys would still have some work to do. Now, Redskins have to take care of their business and beat the Eagles, but they've got Giants, Jags, Titans, Eagles left. The Redskins do. So not a difficult schedule, and I'm not saying the Cowboys do either, but that's going to be an interesting race down the stretch.
Yeah, no doubt it is, and the thing is that when you look at everything that – when I was talking about this a week or so ago, the bigger thing is that with Alex Smith out, with Colt McCoy in – Redskins already were kind of a crapshoot as it is, but at least offensively with a game manager like Alex Smith, you had a certain level of confidence with them, but they're not the same team. The Giants are starting to win again, at least somewhat become relevant, and you can't forget about the Eagles because regardless of all the injuries and all the problems, they're still right in the middle of it. So interesting that some of these divisional races where everybody said they were the two worst divisions in football, and one, the race just got more interesting, and the other, the teams around the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing great football.
I tell you what, watching the game last night, and I tweeted this out, but Drew Brees played like I expected Dak Prescott to play.
That's a good point.
He had a game that I expected to see from Dak. And
he
it wasn't
61 yards in the first half.
It wasn't even his worst game of the year. That came against the Vikings when he threw for 120. So as bad as he looked, and they won that game. So as bad as he looked, it wasn't even his worst game. But this is a Saints passing attack now that for 2 weeks in a row has scuffled. They put up, I think, I want to say 170, 173 against the Falcons, who are a terrible defense, by the way.
With a lot of injuries.
And they struggled, but they struggled against the Falcons to really get the ball moving. I was very surprised that at the end of the first half, they said something about the Cowboys, they've given up 59 yards, three first downs in the first half, and no real chunk plays. No plays. They didn't go down the field at all, and that surprised me a lot. But I think that says something to two things. One, the coverage that the Cowboys were able to get. And two, the pressure that they were getting on Drew Brees all night long.
No doubt about it. Because on the edge, Lawrence and those guys were really creating havoc for Brees back in the pocket. He looked uneasy. He didn't look comfortable. He didn't look relaxed the way he was throwing the football. But I said this yesterday, and I meant it, but the Cowboys' defensive backs, because they have a combination of size, athleticism, and speed, they were able to really play the right coverage against Michael Thomas, and they were also smart enough for young corners to admit that, hey, when they're beat, they committed a penalty to prevent the big play, but it also prevented, because of the penalty, prevented New Orleans from gaining some rhythm, going down the field, and getting that easy score like they would have if they didn't commit the penalty. All over, a very smart played game by the Dallas Cowboys, a very balanced game by the Dallas Cowboys, and an impressive win by the Dallas Cowboys. That was something that I did not see coming to that level, although I expected it to be a closer game. But Dallas definitely now has to be considered a playoff contender.
No doubt.
In terms of a team that's going to make the postseason.
Dude, as good as that defense is playing, yeah, you better – if you're on their schedule and you're not taking the Cowboys serious, that's your fault. If they're not the best defense in the league, they're second or third.
And here's the thing.
They're legit.
We mentioned the secondary, and we mentioned the pass rush. But if you don't mention those two young linebackers that are all over the field, Vander Esch and Smith, holy moly, are they they are aggressive, they are active, they are violent. In some cases, in terms of if you're a Saints fan, I know there's a call that you want to start worrying about on the helmet. But the bottom line is we saw it firsthand with Deshaun Watson when he got hit by Smith here several times at NRG. But my goodness, that draft pick looks better and better. The guy was going to be a top first-round pick until he had the knee issue in the bowl game with Notre Dame. He's come back from a lot of adversity medically, and he and Vander Esch together are one hell of a tandem at linebacker.
Well, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I said take the Cowboys and the points. And if you were paying attention and you hopped on my bookie, you made a little money last night. Now, I'm no Jerry Bowe, and if you're going to get on my bookie, maybe you consult with him too because he's a lot better at it than me. But my bookie is the place to be. Whether you use my picks or you use Jerry Bowe's picks, you definitely want to be making those decisions on my bookie. MyBookie.ag is the website to get you started. And remember, who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why you need to get with my bookie. They are the online destination to get action on any game out there. That includes Canadian football, that includes horse racing, that includes Raheel just missing three-pointers all over the place. It doesn't matter. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been around for years. And the best part is when you win, they pay you. There's just that, I can't explain how important that is to find a company that's going to pay you when you win your bets. And that is exactly what MyBookie does. It's why I recommend them. It's why you should be using them. They have in-game live betting. They've got player perks that you're going to love and that'll keep you coming back for more. And if you're a fantasy dude and you're already setting lineups and making plays, you can even bet the over-under on fantasy points that a player will score each week. So check them out, mybookie.ag. Use promo code radio when you sign up. They'll match your first deposit 50%. So you put in $500, they'll match $250. It's that simple. Just use promo code radio to get that 50% first deposit match. Mybookie.ag, you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame you, Don.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, 2325 Calder Avenue. Come on down. Nick Fan Club is in the building as the Steeler contingent is late, but better late than never as they are here. And we appreciate them when we are here as well. You should be here too. Come on down if you're in the Golden Triangle area. You want to check out everybody in B-Town. Great place for happy hour. Great place to watch a lot of the conference championship games. Some of them start tonight. And they've got specials going on, $12 Miller Lite buckets, $15 Coors Light buckets. Stop on down, see us, see the Blitz till 7, and then see some good football with some great food and beverage. Right?
No doubt. Hey, apparently Clarence is on the phone.
I'm surprised he had the balls to call in today.
I'm wondering if he's like, if he didn't have breakfast so he could eat all this crow.
Or he's going to put tail between legs and admit that that overzealously boisterous crap call yesterday is going to be made up for with
just an apology. That's
humble,
really
humble pie.
Clarence, if you want to do this the right way, you just, when we go to you, you just say, hey guys, I'm sorry.
Dude,
and then hang up.
Like
that was it. Just, I sound like Eric.
Sounded like Eric Wong. Jeez, what's wrong?
Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys? How y'all doing?
Very good, man. Your boy Breeze looked like Prescott, and Prescott looked like Breeze for most of the game. What happened? Remember, you didn't trust Dak Prescott.
Well, a couple of things. Let's start off with Dallas. Y'all get some good props. That defense is the truth. Fandash and Jalen Smith, man, those boys fly around. They remind me of the good old days. Those boys move, and that front four, they get pressure up the middle, around the corner, any way you wanted to, and they kept my boys in check the entire night. So they get big up. And the offense, they controlled the line of scrimmage, got time of possession, and it was good. As a matter of fact, both defenses on both teams played really well. Now let's get to some of the problems that I had with last night. First and foremost, that officiating crew.
Needs to
go off every. No, I'm not making excuses. None at all. Because it was for the entire game on both sides.
Yeah, they were bad
not
all
just
the way around.
Both sides. They were bad. They were horribly bad on some calls. But that's not, there is no excuses for that. The person who I blame the most for that loss is Sean Payton. When you go, this is my pet peeve with every coach. When you're down in the red zone, take the point. When it works, it works. When it doesn't, you just look silly. You lost by 3 points, and guess what those 3 points was? Right there, that fourth and one. You could have took those, and it would have been a tie ball game, and we'd never know what had happened after that. But still, you take the points and go from there. Other than that, the Cowboys played a good game, and there's nothing I can say about that except eat some crow like Fred and Iggy did one time. And one more thing. Besides the Cowboys fans I know, which is Dr. Jerry and Snow Black and Crystal Collins, more importantly, please don't come on my Twitter line out of nowhere, under sewers, under rocks, off of buildings. See, I told you they were going to win. You didn't say anything before the game. Besides those three people,
wait,
I don't
want
to
add one to that. No, Trey's a Cowboy fan, too, so Trey's allowed as well. By the way, Clarence was the one that was vehemently denying when you and I both said, you know, if the Cowboys have ball control and they keep the ball out of the Saints' hands and Zeke runs the ball well, they got a chance.
Well, yeah, I had mentioned yesterday, too, I thought it could have been – I expected the Saints to put more points on the board, but I had talked about – I kind of used an MMA analogy – when you've got two wrestlers, you're going to probably get a boring MMA match. And in this case, what you had is a team that liked to run the ball, and the Cowboys are a team that played really well against the run, and vice versa. The Saints are really good against the run, and they bottled up Zeke. I mean, he didn't even get 100 yards, and I think he had a three-game streak of 100 yards or more. So it turned into kind of an ugly game, and that certainly favored the Cowboys. And when they're on the field – for more than Breeze in that offense is,
But when I say ball control, even though Zeke didn't get to 100 rushing, because you got to also kind of, it's almost like a rush when you do the little screen passes and the way they set up the screen passes with blockers in front. He scored on one of them. He got great blocking throughout the night. Regardless of whether he did it just with straight handoffs or with short dink and dunk passes, they kept the chains moving, the clock moving. They ball controlled better. And you know what? Those are two really good young defensive lines. But the Cowboys had a better game, and they put pressure on Drew Brees, which not a lot of teams have been able to do. You talked about Ramchek and the line of the Saints. The Saints haven't really been challenged that much in terms of good defensive lines to go up against. And those two guys on the end last night for the Cowboys put a lot of pressure on Drew Brees, and he looked uncomfortable, and that's rare for this season for the Saints.
How about at one point during the game, they show a highlight of Suofilo, and it's him just olaying one of the one of the defensive linemen. Yeah, for a holding call. And, boy, how many times have we seen that as Texans fans, watching Xavier Suofilo just get – and then the very next play after that, I was watching him specifically, and he just got ragdolled. I mean, I don't know who it was that was up against him on that play, but he just shook the mess out of him like he was a baby that wouldn't stop crying. It was ridiculous. That dude is still bad.
I thought about it the minute he got caught. I thought, oh, Twitter right now is just having a field day with Houston people.
And what's his name? Troy Aikman tried to pump him up. Like, oh, he's been doing a really good job, and he's the reason why Elliott has run for – no, he's not. No,
yeah,
don't even try. He may be better than he was with the Texans, and maybe they have better coaching for their offensive linemen, and they have a better offensive line squad, so people around him make him better. But don't try to sell me a bill of goods, Troy Aikman, that Xavier Suofilo is good.
For as good as the pass rush was for Dallas and everything that we've said good, Greg Hardy almost single-handedly cost them that football game, too, because of the mistakes he made. The run, the roughing the punter was just ridiculous that you didn't have to do. And a couple of his penalties, you're like, man, you don't need to do all that. You guys are all over the quarterback, but luckily – you know, they were able to recover with defense, and Breeze made a really bad pass again for the final pick, but he made it because of pressure again. He felt the heat. He threw the ball earlier than he would have liked, and, you know, the pick ended the game and turned the tables again. But Clarence, the one point I will tell you that I thought I agree with that he made was those 3 points were extremely important.
Peyton, yeah.
I think, and I heard someone say it, it might have been Troy's crew but on the national broadcast, and it might have been someone on radio, but they said, that was an anger call by Sean Payton. He was so frustrated and angered by the way everything had been going offensively and the fact that they weren't getting some calls that he was pissed off and he decided he was going to get it on 4th and 2, and it was a bad play call.
So you said, Hardy, you meant Randy Gregory, right?
I mean, sorry, Randy Gregory.
Yeah, right? And you're right. He did have some plays, and I had made the point that if the Cowboys blew that game, and it was looking like it because the Saints got it back with a minute 40-something left, I wouldn't even have blamed Randy Gregory, because if Dak Prescott hits Gallup, who is wide open,
yes, he was,
on that pass, he just overthrew him. If he hits him on that, then that's all. It's done. It's over with. But the fact that he missed that wide open ball to Gallup, to me, that was going to cost them the game. It had nothing to do with Gregory did have some stupid penalties, one of them which kept a drive going to end up in a touchdown.
Yep.
But all Prescott has to do is make that pass, and that's game, set, match. And then on the screen pass where Breeze threw the interception, I thought for a moment that he was expecting Kamara to sit down on the route.
Yeah, inside.
Just to kind of turn and sit down, and he kept going. Turns out what he basically said was, no, I was just trying to throw it at his feet.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He came out and said, to lead him outside.
No. He said basically he knew that the play was blew up. He was just going to get an incomplete pass, stop the clock, and regroup. So he went to throw it at his feet, and he said, I didn't execute properly, and they picked it off. So mistakes all around. Breeze made some mistakes. I didn't think Thomas had a great game. I thought he did all right. I thought the Cowboys were able to survive some mistakes by Gregory and even Cooper with the fumble. They didn't end up – the Saints couldn't score and convert that turnover into points. All in all, man, Cowboys played damn near a perfect first half and held on to survive in the second half.
Yeah, I really don't think that, like I said, too, and this doesn't hurt the Saints either. It was fine that they get a loss between now and the end of the season. They can learn from this. They can get better from this. They can build some momentum back up again, and they'll be just fine. But from a Dallas perspective, that's exactly what they needed. They got it. They have a team that's now a one-game lead in the East. And a team that looks like they're heading to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if you want to head to a better life, how about switching careers, getting into the oil and gas business? And UMD Academy is going to give you a head start over everybody else in that industry or folks that are getting started. UMD Academy is offering oil and gas basics class for you. And I've been in the business. I was there, man. I spent many, many years in the oil and gas industry. And I'm telling you what, the learning curve can be pretty difficult, but the payoff can be amazing. But I wish I would have had a UMD Academy when I got started to get me going in the right direction early on. It's for non-oil and gas professionals, these classes are, and they've got a great, great selection of classes. Some of them include stuff like just an intro to oil and gas, just to get you started on the basics. And included in that is an IT basics class, because Trust me, oil and gas is IT heavy, but it's a great experience and a great base and foundation for the rest of your career. They teach you about upstream drilling. They have a day in the life of a project engineer class. They even have a women in engineering course. If you're a lady out there and you want to get involved in oil and gas, they need you. They want you. So get involved with UMD Academy and get trained up right now. They're committed to the students, so it's not just you take a bunch of classes and you're on your own. They're going to help you with your resume. They're going to put you through practice interviews. They're going to give you mock interviews so that you're ready to go when you hit the ground and start trying to get a job in the oil and gas business. And they're even going to help you with career coaching. So it's not just high and dry. You take the class and you're done. UMD Academy is different than anybody else offering this because they stick with you throughout the process. So don't miss out on this opportunity to get involved. Do me a favor. Go to umdes.com/learn and just check it out. Read it. You may not like it. You may like it. I think you're going to want to do it, man. It's a great opportunity to really get a boost in a career that is going to last you a really long time. So umdes.com/learn and save 10% with promo code ESPN Radio.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. We are at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. You should be here too. Stop by, come on through, see us. At 2325 Calder Avenue, we're going to be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. $12 Miller Lite buckets, $15 Coors Light buckets. I've told you guys, if you're in the Golden Triangle area and you're looking for a great place to watch games, college, pro, and just hang out, indoor, outdoor, great food, great beverages, great specials, unbelievable wait staff, very pretty, very helpful. This is the place to be. Our promo team is here, Tosh and crew, giving away lots of freebies, spin the wheel. Have some fun and games along the way, but we'd love to see you, and it's always a great time here at Luke's.
Yeah, joining us on the line right now, my guy Trey Blackwell from Vortex. Trey, welcome to the show, first of all, man. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So I brought Trey on because I wanted to talk, but there's a big fight coming up this weekend.
Huge fight.
And it's between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this fight because there was some hype around this fight, but after this week, I think this has kind of become a must-watch fight between two undefeated heavyweights. And let's be honest, Trey, right off the bat, there's not a lot of heavyweight fights that are must-watch nowadays. It's not like the old days, right?
It's not. Absolutely, Barry. I think what this fight signifies is what we've been seeing in boxing in the last 3 or 4 years, which is the resurgence of the prominence of the heavyweight division. I remember when I was a kid, if you didn't know who the heavyweight champions were, you didn't know who the kings of sport were. And it hasn't been that way lately in the last decade or so, but with Wilder and Fury and also with Anthony Joshua over there in Great Britain, we've got some really quality heavyweights and some great fights on the horizon. I'm really excited about it.
You and I were talking, and by the way, we were talking before class, and I didn't mention this, but I would appreciate it if you don't tell the people how much I suck at trying to do boxing classes.
Your secret's safe with me, man.
First of all, he didn't even make fun of me for wearing wrestling shoes in a boxing class.
That's okay. The boots are pretty much the same wrestling shoes to boxing shoes. As long as you stay on those toes, I have no problem with it.
And I will say, I've got about 15 to 20 seconds of fury in me. And then I'm done. It's a lot like my sex life. So
yeah.
I appreciate you not bringing that up and embarrassing
me. Well, I can't attest to that, but I can attest to firsthand you are a very dangerous man for about 15 to 20 seconds. That is the fact.
All right. Now, let's talk a little bit more about this fight because when you and I were discussing it before our workout yesterday, mm-hmm. I had mentioned that I really wasn't that high on Tyson Fury. I mean, he's a guy that had been out of the game for a couple of years. He comes back. He had 2 or 3 fights this year. Won both of them. But, I mean, his last fight before he fought in June of this year was Klitschko, who you reminded me He went in and beat unanimously. So
that's right.
Am I sleeping on Tyson Fury as a heavyweight and as this challenger to Wilder?
I think a lot of people are just because of his inactivity. But here are the things you have to know about Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is a traveling man in the United Kingdom. And what that means is he is raised in that gypsy fist-fighting culture. He has been boxing, standing hand pugilist with bare knuckles since he was about 5 to 6 years old. He has an IQ of the stand-up arts of pugilism that is unmatched. The man knows how to fight. In the last fight, you just said it, Barry, he beat what, besides Lennox Lewis, was the greatest heavyweight of our generation in Vladimir Klitschko. And he beat him handedly and one-sidedly. A lot of people are sleeping on Tyson Fury. He has a lot of talents. He's a very defensively savvy fighter, and he moves well for a man his size, and he throws punches from a lot of different angles. I think he's going to give Deontay Wilder a lot of problems.
I'm curious about that. He's bigger than Wilder. He's almost 6'9", Wilder 6'7". He's got a couple of inches in reach on Wilder as well. But I think what I don't know, and that's why I'm glad we have you here, is what kind of chin does Tyson Fury have? Because Wilder, in his career, 40-0 with 39 knockouts, that lets you know that Wilder has power, and he can finish anybody
Absolutely.
In the business. What kind of chin does Tyson Fury have?
Tyson Fury has an awesome chin, and if you watch that Klitschko fight, one of the most legendary straight right hands in the history of the heavyweight division belonged to Vladimir Klitschko, and he put it right on Tyson Fury more than a dozen times in that fight, and Tyson Fury just shook it off. Now, it's no secret, and his public battles with mental health, that Tyson Fury is a little off his rocker, as we all are kind of in the combat arts. Just to step through those ropes into a ring and go to war with another man or woman, you kind of have to be a little nuts. But that man's chin will hold up to a megaton, and that's what it's going to be standing up to in Deontay Wilder. I wonder with his, like I said, Fury's defensive skills, his skill set, and his ability to move, if Deontay Wilder is going to be able to put those huge, heavy fists on him enough to get the job done.
And you talked about what it takes to step in the ring. You've fought yourself. Tell the folks a little bit about your career and what you did.
I mean, in a past life, I don't like to talk about myself much, but since you asked, I boxed for the Army World Class Athlete Program for 4 years of my life, and I made a really solid push to making the 2012 London Olympic team. I'm a veteran of over 150 amateur fights. I'm a two-time collegiate All-American and collegiate national champion. Got a pretty distinguished resume when it comes to amateur boxing. Competed Pan Am Games, Military World Games, 3-4-time U.S. Army and Armed Forces champion. So the list kind of goes on and on. Made it to the Olympic trials, and I fell short of catching that plane to London, but I did my best that day. So, yeah, I'm well-versed in this boxing game.
So tell me how it's going to go this weekend. And first of all, tell us how it's going to go. And is this a fight that everybody should be on board with? Is this going to reach? Because, look, I'll be honest, man, I'm one of those cats that kind of gave up on boxing when MMA came around and Don King was running boxing. I got sick of it. Is this a fight that's going to rejuvenate the fan base?
And a lot of people feel the same way you do, Barry. Here is a fact. Gloved prize fighting, it has been the pinnacle of athletic competition in this world that we live in for at least 100 years and the Marcus of Queensbury rules. Before that, we had the London prize ring rules, and the heavyweight champion of the world was king. Like I said, I believe that this fight signifies a resurgence in that. As far as the fight goes itself, I think that it can go one or two ways. Me, if I'm a betting man and I'm betting on this, just from my skill set and what I see, I look for Tyson Fury to win a decision. There's no way in the world he's going to take Deontay Wilder out. He's too tenacious. He's not going to take him off his feet. But I think in those weigh-ins, if you watch those weigh-ins and press conferences, I believe that Tyson Fury got into Deontay Wilder's head a little bit. He seemed like he was a little bit off balance, and he was very angry. So I look for Wilder to come out early and try to knock out Tyson Fury, but when the fight pace starts to slow for these big, giant men that have to drag 250-plus pounds around the ring, the fight pace is going to slow around round 6, round 7, and I look for Tyson Fury to win it on defense, footwork, and punches and bunches.
There you go. Trey, tell the folks where they can find you. I know you're at Vortex
teaching classes. That's right. So you can find me training and teaching the sport of boxing if you're interested. And Vortex, which is a boutique fitness gym here in the River Oaks district of Houston. It's an awesome setting. We have our versions of Ride, Rumble, and Refuel. Ride is our stationary bike exercise class, and then we have Rumble, which is our bag, boxing bag classes that you've taken. And it's the first multisensory workout in Houston, the first of its kind. And what I mean by multisensory is your eyes, your ears, your mind, heart, and spirit are all going to be on one accord in a three-way war with between you, the bag, and your body. It's we've got, I think, $2.2 million worth of sound, laser lights, black lights, put into a room where we just work out, have a great time, 45 minutes, all out, high intensity. You're covered in sweat when you leave, and you're doing it to an awesome soundtrack. So, yeah, well, that's Vortex in the River Oaks district. And then also I teach boxing at O Athletic, which is a high-performance sports facility in the Heights neighborhood of Houston, owned by the Washington Redskins players Adrian Peterson and Trent Williams. There is also the helm of SBG Boxing, which is Silverback Gorilla, Trent Williams' nickname, his managerial company. We've got a lot of fighters that are fighting. Actually, we have one of our fighters, Will Morris, fighting on a Bellator MMA card tonight. Nice. On the prelims. So we've got fighters like Joseph George, Christian Montano, who are both 8-0, 6-7 knockouts respectively. So if you are interested in anybody in Houston, whether you're an aspiring fighter or Joe Schmo gym patron, you can find me at O Athletic or at Vortex, and you can decide how you want to learn the sweet science.
Very good. Trey, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for the insight on the fight. I'm glad we got to discuss it a little bit. We don't talk boxing enough on this show, so it's good to have you involved, man. We'll talk to you next time.
I'm ready anytime, man. I could do this all day.
Enjoy the fights, man.
Yeah, you too, Barry. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Trey Blackwell of Vortex, former boxer, Army boxer. Great dude, too, man. Nick took the class. He'll tell you. He knows what he's talking about, man. It's a great class, but he's sharp. When we sat there for probably 15, 20 minutes talking about this fight, and he said about half of what we discussed on the show. What's that?
There you have it. I mean, the bottom line is his resume speaks for itself. I don't think a lot of people, when he came on the show, realized just how versed he was from an experience standpoint, let alone what he was able to express to us on the phone there on that segment. So we've got one in the books. We still got 2 hours to go. The big show. We are at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Stop on down and see us. We'll be here till 4. And, of course, the Blitz will be here till 7. It is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.